for those looking to live outside the box of religious performance and inside the love of an awesome Father, this is The God Journey. Well, I'm Wayne Jacobson, and this is another edition of The God Journey. And if you're hopeful that means the break is over, I've got bad news for you. It's not quite over yet. I love what's going on in this season. I love what's going on in my heart. I love what's going on in the conversations between Sarah and me. I love the things I'm beginning to see that are going to be my priorities going forward. But all that isn't clear yet, and the timing isn't right for me to kind of get back to an every week kind of show. So we're going to keep that on hiatus for a time. I'm off to Canada this weekend for the next two, so I may have some conversations up there we might share with you as well. But not in a hurry yet to reposition this podcast. When we do, I'm hopeful that it would include a lot more conversation and input from many of you. And not just from emails, but from conversations and comments and questions and interacting as we sort out what this God journey means and how do we live it more freely. I also love some of the email I'm getting from people and what this break is doing in you, that it's turned some of your hearts more freely to the Father without having a fix from the God journey every week. And boy, if that's out the fruit of this break time, then we may never come off of it. I've always suggested that's better, but I don't mind having conversations with people as well. But if it becomes a substitute, as anything does, if anything becomes a substitute for you getting to know Him and somebody is in the way of you engaging Him, then over the long run, it's going to be destructive and not helpful, no matter how much fun you might be having with it. So I really appreciate the fact that many of you are saying you've substituted your Friday conversation with Wayne and Brad and others for a conversation with God, and for some of you, that's opening up some wonderful doors, so I'm grateful for that as well. Not sure when we'll come out of the break yet, not ready to announce when the hiatus is over officially, and we'll get back to something more intentional here. I love what I'm discovering. I love what God's doing in my heart right now. It's kind of like a clearing fog. I see some things in the distance that I'm really excited about. And so I do have a better sense of what we're going to be doing. I don't have a sense yet of how or when we're going to be doing it. So when that becomes clearer, we'll get back to you and let you know that. Not in a real hurry. I'm really at peace with the day-to-day unfolding of my life and journey. One of the greatest stories for me in the last 20 years is God directing me away from the strategic planning, Wayne's effort, Wayne's ideas, Wayne's scheming to manipulate something or to get something down the road, even good stuff for God, which turned out oftentimes to be good stuff for Wayne. But in any case, I think on this journey, what I'm learning to do is live inside the day and let things unfold and not have to put things so strategically in mind and then be conformed to Wayne's way of doing things and miss out on God's way of doing things. So, but part of that story that's unfolding involves making a movie of the book So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore. This was kind of serendipitously dropped in my lap. And a few weeks ago, two of the key people that are moving this story toward that interpretation were at my home for a couple of days as we explored the best way to reposition this manuscript for a movie treatment. And so I want to introduce to you two of the people that came by and spent some time with me and talking about our process of doing that. That's an interest. Stay tuned. If it's not, then don't worry, there's not much on the backside of this anyway, so you can cut it off right here. But hopefully, in the next few weeks, we'll be back to talk to you a little more about some of the things that God's doing and directing. And I think what this podcast will be able to do that will make it very, very different. So those of you that got real hooked to the Brad Wayne thing, it may not be your cup of tea. But I think it's going to be very helpful, particularly in helping those people who want to have a journey and feel like they're having a tough time connecting. Those are the folks that I want to help so that they can experience the same joy and freedom and life and unfolding grace that God has made available to Sarah and me. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Kevin and Angela. Kevin Waller. Kevin, welcome to the God Journey.
Thank you.
You don't even know much about it. You have heard it, though.
I have heard it. I have heard it when I was researching whether you were real or not.
And what did you find out?
Huh? I'm still trying to figure it out.
Well, the reason I want to talk to Kevin, and we've got another guest we're going to do in just a minute as well. Kevin's here because 6-8 months ago, something like that, you sent an email to me, maybe longer ago, maybe almost a year ago.
Yeah, I think it was right about a month and a half before the end of the last year.
Yeah, so we're coming up on almost a year.
Wow.
But you sent me an email about wanting to make a movie of the book So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore. I get hundreds of emails of people who want to make the Shack movie. And that was the first one in a long time that I got from somebody saying, hey, can we talk about doing this as a movie? What made you want to do it? It's not a book that easily lends itself to a movie, I don't think. So I was kind of surprised.
That's a tough question because it felt like...
I like tough questions.
It's a tough question because it was something I was moved on one level. When I read it, I thought, oh, I'm not going to... You know, I saw this title. It wasn't because of the title that I decided to make the movie.
You love the title, is that
it? Yeah, I love the title. I read it despite the title. And
I think a lot of people did.
Yeah.
They're still reading it. So.
Yeah, it's still reading it. It works. And
fine.
I thought, okay, let's read this. And I thought, where is he trying to take me in this thing? I'm reading this thing, this book. And I thought, oh, he's trying to tell me this. And he's trying to tell me this. He's trying to tell me to go to church. He's trying to tell me not to go to church. Then I realized, wait a minute. He's not trying to tell me anything. Wow, this is a first. I'm reading a book.
This
he's not
book
trying
about
to tell
nothing.
Me anything about nothing except for maybe waking up a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I thought, man, I sent this to a friend of mine. We have done some chaplaincy work together, and he read it and called me back and said, left a message. I read it. It was great. You don't know who Jesus really is like, do you? Frankly, I have nothing else left to say. And he hung up, and we, ever since we talked about everything, that book, we got together and did not. I don't think to this day that we've went and discussed it because we were like, yeah, that's it. We got that's it. Somebody would reached into the religion using the term and the culture, the existing culture, and used the words and redefined it in ways that way we felt it was meant to be, way we were getting it, and thought, well, we were pushing away all the words and stuff, and somehow you were able to reach in, work within the culture of that religion, and make it work. And it was fascinating.
Which is not necessarily terms that you love or embrace. I mean, your spiritual journey is very different from mine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you want to talk a little bit about it?
Absolutely.
Kind of where you've journeyed and how you've landed where you've landed? And
Well, born Jewish, raised Methodist. That's a little bit of a...
Wow, that's quite a conundrum there.
Yeah, exactly. And always loved the Christ story. Always loved that connection. But... I always felt the disconnect in church, and I thought, what is he saying up there? What is this about? And it just something was fake. And I never was the guy that, you know, that, oh, you got to come down in front of everybody and say, oh, you're saved. And I thought, well, yeah, let's wait until you got to mean that. You're just going to walk down there without meaning it? There's got to be something here.
Just the hope of a get out of hell free card is mostly enough for people.
Right. And I took it serious. I took it serious enough to say, you know what, if I'm going to really surrender my life to something, I got to mean it, because what's this about? And for me, I had to get to a place where that I wasn't attached to the outcome of what that was about. And so started reading and exploring and experiencing and trying to get my arms around different spiritual texts and everything else. And I kept until I finally got to a moment where there was a moment in my life where I finally said, oh, okay, I'm ready. Oh, I get this. And it was not an intellectual moment. It was, okay, I can surrender. It was my own bedroom. It wasn't in front of, you know, hundreds of people so they could see me. That's
right.
Not where I could connect. You know, it was like I couldn't connect with it. Probably would have if it was there, but it wasn't about that relationship to the other people.
That's great.
And that surrender kind of opened. It was one of those things, after I said it, I wanted to take it back immediately. Like, whoa, okay, now I meant that. How do I get that back? Because the idea was that I let go of it. And my life is now in your hands. What's that mean? And it was almost powerful to the point of I knew the gravity of it. And for me, it wasn't, I'm giving it to you so I can get this.
Right.
It was, I'm giving it to you so, what does that mean? Is that going to put me in jail? Is it going to put me here? It doesn't matter what that means.
How old were you when this was?
I was about 28.
Okay.
28, 29. I don't remember it exactly.
You're right. But
there was this connection, and it was this moment of, I don't want this cup of poison, but if it's your will, let it be done kind of feeling, like this kind of thing, like, okay, I don't want this, but oh, and then it was like, oh, like, wow, I let it take my, then it followed, then it was take my life, you know, this is about surrender. And that wasn't really the end of it. That was the beginning, no question. Everything living up, it was just, you know, the introduction to the story at best, and then the chapter one, that was chapter one for me.
Wow. And then you have not been a filmmaker by trade in your past life, right?
No, not any life that I remember.
So what did you do? I mean, what were you doing vocationally before?
So I owned a business.
Yeah.
And had been in the financial services and whatnot, owned a business, got involved with, I was focused on success. It was, and it was interesting because I was using that as a way to grow. It was like, okay, what am I doing here? And yeah, sure, I want to do well in the world, want to grow, but how do I use what I'm doing to learn? So I started learning, and there's only so many business books you can read, and you start going, okay, well, business is about people. How do you know people? And you go into psychology, and go, okay, this is great. These are all great tools. But then what's behind that? And that's when you dip into this level of spirituality that I hadn't – I was always a seeker, I think, but it was more conscious search for that. About 32, 33, decided that I wanted to do something. I was giving back more. Sold my business, tried to figure out that, and I said I just felt drawn. I was going to go overseas. So I took off overseas, went to India. And that was where I was going the first time, and bought a one-way ticket and never made it the first trip. Ended up in Thailand. Stayed in Buddhist monastery in the past and experienced that. Finally went back and made it to India. And it was just this great journey of experience of kind of seeing that there are ways of seeing things in the world that may not be the way you think they were, or what you were taught. That's a better way to say it for me. What you were taught, and it was learned. And so then when I saw that, wow, somebody can eat that way, or eat with this, or handle this that way, or they're functioning fine and they're okay, then it kind of helped me see back into our own culture. And that's when I thought, okay. And it was just that was kind of the journey for me. And so then I was almost out of it completely. I'd given another, okay, I would let go of the ambition. I was out of it. And then I had this thing pull me back in saying, no, be in the world, but not of it. So it's like, okay, I'm free over here, but I got none of my stressors, none of the stressors in my society. If I didn't want to hear it, I just had to not hear the language I was living in. There was a beauty about it. But how do you live in the world, not of it? So I came back, and here I am. And then I decided I was going to choose only projects that I wanted to get involved with. As you know, I have another movie that
I moved my financial services into movie producing. That's kind of your...
I moved into consulting and just kind of was project, and I looked at, and I got into movie producing by another book that I read. It has nothing to do with spirituality. It was a story that I asked myself, what did I tell this from the campfire? And I said, this is great. Another book that I never would have pulled off the shelf. I have no idea why I pulled that book off the shelf either. And actually, I do, because it was, I didn't pull off the shelf. It came from a friend of mine, was the subject matter. So it came to me. I said, okay, I'll read that subject matter anyway. And it's not a to war, not to war. It's not political or not political. It's this idea of the human spirit. And, you know, as much as I hate war, I'm pacifist by nature. Everybody that got attracted to that story was attracted to something, unification, or some, you know, competent man in a very incompetent situation, kind of a guy, a skill set that kind of didn't know much, but actually it was he went in not knowing anything. So in a sense that he was learned certain things, and he was in a situation where he wasn't around anywhere to be taught, so he threw out the book. So it did have a little bit of paradigm shifting in that, and then he developed his own techniques that
interrogation techniques
that changed the way, the landscape of interrogation, period.
What was the name of the book?
Mission Blacklist number one.
Is that the name of the movie?
As of right now, it's Mission Blacklist. Okay. Yes, yeah, Mission Blacklist. And so got into it and said, oh, I was going to help him with, had some business guys come to me about investing in California, and I thought, oh, it's kind of interesting what they're doing. I thought, and then I started connection. I'd read this book 3 or 4 months ago. When I read it, I thought, this is a movie, you should do this. And ended up getting into it, trying to help him to sell his book, and realize this is just an entrepreneur. It's nothing different than what I had done before, except for I had to learn new terminology,
right?
Bunch of different terminology, and you know, and obviously there's little systems within it, and ended up producing that over the last 3 years and gaining some traction. And then, so I wind up at a coffee shop, going back to this book, a breakfast shop. And I had recommended your book, So You Don't Want a Church Anymore, maybe a year prior to a friend of mine. And I was kind of getting a handle on the movie, how the movie industry was unfolding in the development stage. And I said, okay, you know, I told Tara, my wife, said, you know what, I need to make a movie of this at some point, maybe in two or three years. And that was just fresh in my mind. Told it to the guy I was having breakfast with. He said, well, how much is the movie going to cost? He started being very inquisitive. And I said, well, I told him, and I completely was just sharing with him, you know, the thing, that book, I'm thinking about making a movie in a couple of years. He said, well, you know, I may have a business getting ready to sell. Maybe I could put in a sum of money in this deal. And, you know, and it was enough sum of money that it was like, wait a minute. Okay.
Serious.
And I thought, well, are you serious? He said, yes. I said, well, okay. And I walked away. And I said, well, let me reach out to the author first, because I'm making a movie without asking for any sort of approval. I think he's got to be in on this deal. So
you still don't have any.
I still don't have any. We're working on
it. On paper.
This darn handshake thing.
I'm okay with handshakes. Not everybody is, but I am.
And I am too, and I get that. At the same time, that you got to, you know, we understand the need in our community for paperwork. So yeah. I reached out, and that's what I led up to the email. I said, well, I better – so all of a sudden this project that was supposed to be something in 2 or 3 years moved up to the forefront. So, well, I'm going to go with it because it was right there in my – face and say, well, okay, what are you going to do about this? You put it out there, and it's like putting it out in the universe, and it's like, okay, what are you going to do about this? So I reached out to you, and the rest is your side of the story.
Well, we met in Idaho last January, February, somewhere last winter.
Earlier this year, right?
Yeah. Earlier this year, and it was a meet and greet and kind of, you know, what are you going to do with my baby and make sure it's not going to end up to some new age weirdy God thing. You know, make sure we're talking the God of the Bible and want to know what resonated in your heart. And we had a great time. I thought it was a great three or four hours we had after I'd been up in the Spokane area and you drove over. You're from Idaho. You live up in the woods in Idaho. And so we get to hang out, and that was great exploration. We talked about how we might do it, whether we want to do it, and both came away going, let's take the next steps. This sounds really good. So...
Definitely. Yeah, I remember I said, you know, afterwards, because I had some tires I wanted to kick. That was one of the things, the beauties of it. I thought that you didn't want to do a movie of your book that you didn't want to do. And I didn't want to do a movie of your book that I didn't want to do.
Yep.
And it was fair like, enough. Okay, let's kick each other's tires and see what this is about. And I remember saying, I think this is kind of interesting, but I think about 95% we're on the same page. And you said, well, that's good, because I'm not 95% with anybody. So I remember that statement.
That's pretty close. True. Yeah. True enough.
Yeah.
I look for about 30% and I'm good. That's all you get in this age sometimes.
Agreement on the unseen is quite the interesting place to get.
And somewhere about this time, actually before we met, Angela comes on the scene. You met her, and Angela Eby is with us.
Yes.
Hi, Angela.
Hello.
They come out, just why we're all together here at my house, they came out for a couple of days to just block out the story and talk about kind of some of the overriding influence of the script, because Angela's going to take first pass at the screenwriting, right?
Yay, yes.
Are you excited about that?
I'm very excited about it, yes.
And you came to know the book through Kevin, or had you known about it before? Or
no, I hadn't. Okay. I actually met Kevin out in Sundance. And
the film festival?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And we were out there, we were out there kind of, you were looking at movies, right?
I had a friend of mine that had a movie that was previewing, and I go, it's just down the street from me. It made sense. I met my other actually partner on the other project down there, and your husband, the subject matter of the other book, the interrogator, is speaking at your his group,
right?
His group,
yes.
And so you guys invited me over. I hadn't met you yet.
No.
Joe invited me over to the dinner.
So we had a big dinner, and I'm sitting by Tara.
Right.
And we're chatting, and we're just talking about our lives, you know, who we are.
My beautiful wife, by the way.
What we're interested in, and, you know. And she's like, okay, you have to stop and trade me seats. You have to talk to Kevin. And I was like, well, what? You know, so anyway, we traded seats, and then just through the... Yeah, I mean, it was...
I was engaged talking to the other people there. I'm doing the guest thing and everything. Okay, stop. Tara is very in the moment. She says, you have to trade me seats right now. And I put on, I said, okay, what are we supposed to talk about?
Right.
I didn't even know.
Yeah, no, it was then our moment to introduce ourselves. And very quickly got into, you know, what's our worldview and how do we think and respond and what kind of people we are. So you were very careful about saying, well, I kind of have this project that is just getting started, you know, because I don't know. I mean, you guys hadn't solidified anything, but.
This is before we met, even.
Yeah.
You told me
this
story.
We had talked on the phone.
We talked on the phone, but this is before we met.
Before we met. Yeah, exactly.
And it was just kind of one of those fortuitous things that just seemed to be right time, right place. Interest. I mean, it wasn't a conversation that either of us were seeking or anything.
Oh, well, I don't think so. I wasn't even in the conversation to start, so I don't think I was seeking it. But it was seeking us.
Right.
That's all I said.
Right.
It was seeking us. And you had a background. I think you said you're a writer, and your background was seminary, religious seminary, and you wrote your doctoral dissertation,
master's dissertation
on the Book of Ruth. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting. Does this stuff work this quick? Because here I am, and I'm here for something else, and that's it. And I'm sitting there. It was a very interesting connection.
Well, and then my thesis wasn't just a thesis on the Book of Ruth, but then I did an adaptation for screenplay, which I haven't sold yet. So, you know, if we're down the road.
So if you're out there looking for something on Ruth.
It's my whole writing career, the freelance thing, is just, you know, just walking through whatever doors have opened. So.
And then when I asked you the question on – where I told you that you asked me the name of the book. I'm not sure how it transpired. I told you the name of the book, and you had experienced it already.
Well,
you had made aware of it.
No, Tara had told me about the book,
okay.
But I didn't know anything about this book in particular. What I did know and had been exposed to was The Shack. And so I read this book. And, you know, I mean, it just, the vocabulary in it and the way that he portrayed God, I mean, it just really resonated with me, you know.
Cool.
So, so it was like, my conversation with Wayne is kind of, well, this is interesting. You know, this is what happened on me, the way to the, I guess what happened to me on the way to the Apollo, right?
Yeah.
Like,
there you go.
Guess what happened here? And what do you think about this? And I said, I haven't read anything she's written, but there's something in my gut or my body that says, let's do it. Let's just be open to it. And then we had a conversation together, right?
Yeah, all three of us
on the phone.
Right.
After we met in Spokane, then we all three had a bit of a chance to kind of interview each other and feel each other out as to what we were doing. And that's what I've loved about this process so far. I mean, I've pretty much committed to you the rights, and so we're going to work out the paperwork for that because this is a journey I want to go on and see where we end up. And you've assured me enough that it's going to be a story we both want to make. And after the last 2 days, I'm even more convinced that we're talking the same story and we're talking the same lessons and the same realities but the first things we dealt with when you talked to me was this book doesn't, there's no action in this book. There's action hinted at, but it's basically 13 conversations between Jake and John. So I'm like going, okay, we can't do a movie of the book. Certainly the title, So You Don't Want Church Anymore, is not going to be a movie title. So we're really talking at adaptation. We're really talking about taking the lessons of this book and some of the plot line that's hinted at. But we realized that we had to do a very different story in the sense of how it's organized. And that's what we've been the last 2 days exploring. And I've had a ball doing it. I've had a ball having you guys here and getting to this first time I met Angela other than just some phone conversation and some email exchanges. And I want to know, you know, first of all, I think it'd be interesting. I think he talked about it a little bit. Angela, you haven't. How did this book touch you and how did it kind of coincide with your own spiritual journey? Is that a fair question to ask you?
Sure. No, you know, I've been involved in church and so forth, you know, off and on throughout my whole life. We started attending church on a very regular basis when I was in high school. But for me, I mean, from the very get-go, it was always about a relationship with God from the very beginning. You know, it was falling in love with Jesus and knowing who he was and learning about his life and what he taught and the truths of that. And so for me, it never really mattered what church I attended, what denomination, but I found myself at different times having gone to a religious college and then to seminary, that it's very easy sometimes to kind of get sucked into whether it's defending a denomination or an institution. And I always shied away from that bureaucracy of the church. I mean, even at seminary, I was in a very small minority. Most of them were going to study to be pastors. I was a Bib Studies student, you know, who was just there to study the Bible, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to take any of those classes that taught me how to be a pastor.
Ah.
Which was convenient.
Life-saving. For sure.
As I read it, it really to me was less a book about, the church and just more about getting past some of the falsehoods of the way God is portrayed, you know.
Yeah.
There are so many different ways in which people are turned off so vehemently by the God who created us and loves us because of the way people who say they're the people of God live that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so as I read it, I'm reading it and highlighting it, and if I'm reading a really good book, I have these conversations with the authors all through the margins and everything. I mean, it's so marked up. So I was talking to you way before I ever talked to you, just so you know.
Yeah.
Through the margins.
That's what the conversation is.
Right,
huh?
Yes. Yeah. And it just really resonated with me that I thought people need to hear this, they need to be able to experience that God, because that's the God that I love and serve,
Yeah.
Not the one that's cloaked in all of these
rules and rituals and
yes.
Nasty attitude, and I'm going to slap you upside the head.
And that's the thing. I thought, gosh, this guy's so smart. He must have realized what I've been saying from my Sunday school class about how it's about relationship and not religion. And there were just so many different ways in which I had come to some of the same conclusions that you had on my own journey.
Hmm. And how do you guys feel the last couple of days have gone? I mean, are you excited about where we are in this process? Are you still hopeful there's a movie here that's going to resound with people? And they're going to be flat for this is late on a Wednesday night, and they're going to be flat first thing in the morning Thursday. So we won't have much time to talk beyond this. But
I enjoyed the process as much as anything. It's interesting when you enjoy the outcome. I'm really excited about what we did. Kind of, like you said, the action, as Angela put it, action takes place. It takes place in between the chapters, which is like not your typical book that you adapt. Probably why you haven't gotten as many emails for this
for
to
movie
be a movie.
Yet.
But if you look at the messages are so profoundly important, I believe, in our society. And for people, just not even a societal thing. It's for people that are searching to hear maybe that, as you put it, Wayne, that maybe Jesus has answers that modern day religion does not, or not even won't even put the modern day on it. There's certain aspects of the Christian religion has not really represented Christ very well, in some level. And I've had a great time. Kind of, it's interesting as this is not your typical screenplay or project in the sense that a writing project that when you each time you go into a scene, you're also bringing your own. Okay, you're working through and you're growing at the same time. Okay, and you're really taking an issue and saying, okay, this needs to go here, this needs to go here, and then you're like, wait a minute, what's my relationship to it? It's kind of always there. You're kind of working through it, and it's kind of neat that way. And I think it really, if we do it right, which I believe we got a real good chance to do so, and based on what we've done, compasses this last 2 days, I think if we do it right, we've got a real opportunity to make something. Package it in a way that it's viable towards a greater population that may not pick a book off of the shelf, but might turn on the TV and see, I'm going to watch this, and maybe they get a recommendation because we do it well. And that's the goal.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
And it really is not a movie aimed specifically at quote-unquote Christians, but really mm-hmm. people who are spiritually curious and yet maybe a little bit put off by the God that religion often represents, but still has a hunger for something they haven't been able to fully articulate or find yet. And I find that exciting. I find that you come from less the religious vernacular, so we're looking beyond the kind of language that turns people off and really trying to get to a language that incites the spiritual passion most people already have. A lot of people ask spiritual questions, even if they've rejected religion as the answer. but they're still looking for the kind of reality that I think we're talking about here, a God of deep affection who wants to win you into that place and take you out of the approval game that so perverts the way we relate to each other. Yeah.
Well, you know, and I love this aspect that, you know, it's a trite expression, but when you push away, you get caught, find yourself trapped in something. Your first inclination, obviously, is to push away from it and get out of it. But oftentimes, you throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's the trite part of the expression. But there's some truth in that, you know. And it's like, well, maybe if you grew up in this culture that said, this is God, this is what God's love. And you say, well, if that's God's love, this is love. I don't want any part of that. You push away. My hope is that this might give this message, and the message is not a message of a sermon message in a way. I don't know if that's the right way to describe it. It's a message of, hey, listen, this is maybe another way to look at things. Hmm. And this is a growth. Hopefully we can even have a paradigm shift that happens during it. We see things different way. We go, wow, wait a minute. Maybe what I was pushing away from, what was holding the message back and holding this, the essence of it back, holding Christ back. And if I can peel that back, maybe there's this beautiful, pure thing inside it that we all want, we all know is there, but we're unwilling to digest and eat the whole shell because the shell is really, really sour.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
And that'd be nice. That'd be really nice to have a situation where the audience can connect and make their own decision, like you allowed people to do in the book. You make your own decision. It's not about shoving something down their throat. We don't want to go there. It's about, hey, look, This is the transformation that has to take place. It's not an external transformation.
Yeah, if it's going to be organic, it's got to rise from within you. No one, if someone's telling you what to do and you're doing it, at the end of the day, you don't have the fruit of that. I mean, you've got to be motivated by something so much deeper than that. How do you come out of these last few days? You came here, one, having thought more script than either the two of us have probably, and had a lot of notes and things when you came in. How are you feeling about where we're at right now, Angela?
Well, when I first approached the book, you know, it was exciting as a writer because, like you said, there's not a lot of action in the book. So automatically, whenever you start thinking adaptation, especially when people are in love with the story, that's scary as a screenwriter to adapt that because, and I've been one of those viewers before that have sat in a movie of a book that I've loved and you leave and you go, it's not as good as the book. What I like about this film and the direction that we're going is that it really is, it's the same and it's different because what we have an opportunity to do is investigate how that action that happens between these conversations really shows how, you know, Jake, our main character, is being transformed through this process. And so as a writer, that's exciting. On the flip side of that, because there is so much message and so much to learn, before I came here, I there was quite a bit of fear and trepidation in approaching this project.
Because Kevin's so overwhelming as a personality.
Well, you know, and very pushy, right?
Yeah, very pushy. Yeah.
Well, I don't have a bib degree. I apologize.
We should be apologizing to you probably for those degrees.
See, that's more generous than I would have come back with, but that's good. I like it.
There's a lot of responsibility, you know, that I put upon myself, you know, in entering, it's so easy to find yourself getting pulled into that game, I want to win the approval of everybody who loves this book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's been one of the great things about, you know, working with the two of you these last couple of weeks or a couple of days. So it seems like a couple of weeks, right?
not to me, but I can understand I have that effect on people.
But just the last couple of days is, you know, continually choosing to be free of that game because I think it's something that we can get sucked back into. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The work that we've done, I'm excited to go back and start hammering away at the script. And I think that the way we've developed the story, it's going in a really good place.
Yeah, me too. And I love the collaboration of the last couple of days because when you get into a collaboration with some people, there's so much agenda, people trying to push, I got to have this, I got to have that. And I just love how open-handedly you two have been, especially with, you know, we're not coming to take your book and meld it in our image. We really want you. And I don't feel the angst to go be true to the the actual literal story. I want to be true to the message. I want to be true to get to a view of God that's endearing instead of off-putting. I really want to get to that. I want to get to people who live loved, really get to live in a place of freedom that the world doesn't give us because we're always trying to perform for other people or always trying to impress other people. And I just love the open-handedness and exploring ideas and brainstorming and trying to draw out the best and yet really allowing each of us to have the freedom to do what we do and what our gifts are and bring it to this book. People have asked me, did you want to write the screenplay for this book? And my answer, no, I do not. I want someone else to interpret it, and I want to look over your shoulder, and I want to give input where it's helpful. But oftentimes we come to the point of just saying, what are you most excited about doing? So don't just stay true to the book and try to impress Wayne. What makes this story live? Because people understand this. They go to a movie often, wasn't the same as the book.
Right.
Just two different ways to tell a story. Mm-hmm. And even the book is not, I heard we were looking for publishers for it initially. It's not a great way to tell a story. There's no action in this book. There's two guys talking all the time. And,
so then when we say that about the film, you're like, hey, I've been there, heard that before.
that's why I'm going a movie of this, really. I mean, when we were talking about that for The Shack early on, when we were redoing the book and trying to fit it for a movie, we had to add an awful lot of action to the story that wasn't there initially because we realized this makes a more compelling read. And I'd already written So You Don't Want Church Anymore, but while we were doing it, I'm thinking, I should have done that with that other book before we got it out there. You know, I got so caught up in the conversations and what's going on in Jake and John's head that was compelling enough to me. And the action was just setting up for what we were going to do next with the Jake and John conversation. But I understand when you're telling a story in a movie, people are not going to sit there for 2 hours and listen to two talking heads. There needs to be drama and visual elements that draw people into the story. And you can show so much more in a movie that you can't show in a book, or you can't tell in a book, but it's a different medium. You know, it's going to take 5-6 hours to read a book, so you get more in there than a 2-hour movie is going to give you. So it's just a different medium. I hope it brings the message to a different audience, and that's my hope in that whole process.
And you know, something else that is so important, there may be two people having conversations, but one of the things that this book did that no other story that I've seen dealing this head on with this subject matter was able to do is come from a place of starting with truth and the growth of the journey. That to me is, I think, why a lot of people out there have pushed away. It's like, how can I grab a hold of this thing when we're all acting this one thing, but yet I'm feeling and thinking and dealing with another? And you were in this book, you were able to deal in the terminology that I so fondly like.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Yeah, that I'm just in love with.
So endeared to.
And love the terminology and sarcasm, by the way.
Well, the more I know you, the more I'm surprised you got through this book.
Well, that I trusted that there was something a draw to the book. Sister gave it to me. She has a history of not reading a book, handing me the book, and it hit me between the eyes. I just trusted that.
And she hadn't read it yet.
She read The Shack, and it was in the back of the book. I said, she didn't recommend The Shack. She said, I guess she thought it was so. This looks like something you might want to read. And I'm looking at the book, and I go, really? The title?
Do you know me at all?
No, I want to go to show. But she did on some other level, and I read it, and I got through it. And I was like, but you had enough words, enough pages to kind of look at the terms, say, listen, I'm using these words, and this is what these words mean. You're actually reshaping our relationship to them. And I said, well, hold on. I got that. I'm with you on that. If that's what you mean by that, I'm okay with that. And there was this kind of this unfolding. But I love the act that it wasn't the – you heard me say this before. It wasn't the ABC After School Special. It wasn't – so it was this – listen, let's deal with truth here. Let's deal with where we are. I love the question with Phil is that is this Christianity stuff just a crock? Is it just a crock? Asking the question, maybe is God even real? Is this whole God thing even real? If you don't start with truth, even if truth is atheism, as much as we hate to go there, we don't start with it. I mean, oftentimes I have a theory that atheism, if you really can't know who God is until you question if God exists at all. Because what are you just going to take it and say, here's this, believe this?
Yeah, and I think when you're saying truth, most people are thinking truth with a capital T. And we were talking less about ultimate truth than you are just the reality of where you're at and
reality
what you think and
at.
Where you struggle.
Exactly.
And, we talk about religion always wants us to have a right answer, which isn't necessarily the real answer.
Exactly.
And I think that reality is what I want to point out that you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say that the book, especially through the character John, I think just has this voice of authenticity that, you know, that you obviously wrote, so you believe, really resonated with both of us, you know. So it doesn't really even matter what terms are there, because there's this feeling of this is real, this is vulnerable, there's true, you know, everyone was allowed to respond wherever they were. You didn't have to get to a place first. And that's one of the things that's the most difficult for me when it comes to religion, that people who come into a church feel like they have to come having left all their baggage behind them before they're acceptable.
We only take perfection.
Which is the exact opposite. How many of us can ever make ourselves perfect before we get there? I mean,
yeah, and fake it till you make it. I mean, that's actually even said to people.
Opposite. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's the absolute opposite of truth, you know. And so I think it that voice of authenticity that comes through with John, and John is able to do it because he doesn't offer any judgment. He doesn't give really a whole lot of answers either. He does a lot of questioning, and he does a lot of pushing Jake back into himself so that Jake can pull that answer out. The answer that a lot of times we already know deep, deep down inside, it's just covered up with all this stuff that's been put on us ever since we were itty bitty, you know, and we just keep accumulating as we grow up. And John just creates a space that Jake can start taking those things off and looking inside and you know,
finding
that. We
talked about this earlier today or yesterday. I can't remember. But it's like, to me, it's like that difference between being told how to ride a bike and, okay, I've got it on paper. This is balance. This is great. And you go, okay, and you get on a bike and you fall over and say, well, this, you know, what this telling me, what does this mean? You got to get, it's like, no, get back on the bike. Let's work through this. And once you discover balance, you don't need the training wheels. You don't need anything that got you there. It's balance. It's something you experienced, and it's real, and it works, and it's applicable, and it works, as you say.
And you don't have to be able to articulate the theory of balance in order to be able to be balanced.
Well, very few people could. How many 5-year-olds can do that?
Well, it's almost impossible to articulate, because balance means, well, you kind of stay up straight, and then if it starts to go one way, you lean the other way. And if you just do that mechanically, you're all over the map. I remember the first time I taxied an airplane where you control it by the foot pedals rather than the steering wheel. And every time the plane's going the wrong way, you start to turn the wheel and you go, no, it's push the thing. And you overcompensate. So you're going, so you're winding down the taxiway, going off one edge, off the other edge. Wow. It was crazy because I'm not used to doing this. And then it becomes in time second nature. The experience makes it second nature.
Yeah.
So when you get on a bike, you don't even think about balance anymore.
Well,
it's just automatic.
Exactly. And when you put that, when you go into John's position, if someone comes to him and this person keeps, if I come to him and I'm riding the bike and I keep falling over to my right, you know, he can put all the whatever language he wants to do, but he's going to say, lean more to your left. And if Angela is driving down the driving, and she keeps falling to her left, what do? Lean more to your right. I mean, come on, you're finding this balance. So that's this whole idea of that capital T. Again, there are capital T's on some level, but where you're at and where a teacher needs to get you is to help you through it. And what John does is push you back in and say, well, what does Kevin need right now? What does Angela need right now? Well, Kevin needs to lean a little bit more to his left. And it may not be the same thing, but they're both true. They're both true with a capital T, because really the truth with a capital T is the balance itself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the freedom to walk that way.
And a lot of times he doesn't say, okay, Kevin, you need to lean more to the right. He said, how is it working for you leaning to the left?
Yeah.
How's that working for you?
Yeah.
You know? And so he avoids even giving definitive answers a lot of times himself, which I think is fabulous, because then that allows each person to respond to their own life.
Do you need to turn the wheel? Or I need to turn the wheel more. Do you? He just pushes it back in. Lets him work through it. You know, we're just children of God. We're children trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And when we go down to the basic thing, we're trying to figure out. And children are gonna fall and bloody their nose. They're gonna knock a tooth every once in a while. They're gonna make mistakes. But yet, to go into a church, a lot of times there's a feeling that you have to leave all the mistakes at the door. well, where do, how do you grow from it if you left it all out?
Yeah, the performance environment or the fear-based environment is one that does not allow people to grow. It conforms behavior externally, but then it leaves people, and this was true of Jake early in the story, it leaves him empty internally because he's not really dealing with life at a level that transforms us. He's just picked up a religion. He's trying to make it work. And as we know about religions, they just don't work.
Well, in the church could be, you could substitute that for this particular group of people. It doesn't, it's just all about the mentality and consciousness of the group of people that are working together.
Yep.
Do you accept me as I am? Are we willing to start there?
Yeah. So I want to introduce you guys to these two critters because we're going to be on a bit of a journey the next few months, seeing if we can pull off an adaptation of this thing and see if how God provides. But I like what you said earlier about, you know, this piece kind of comes together and you and I have a conversation. And we're feeling really good about that, even though we acknowledge some real differences in our background and maybe in what we hope this movie will be. But a commitment to make the movie that satisfies us both and to make the movie that, and then to bring Angela in. And you guys just happen to be sitting near each other at Sundance. And I mean, I love the way God organically just kind of knits things together if you're watching for it. And if you're not, if you're just going to do it, you know, the regular way things are done, it gets very mechanical and you don't always get the right people in play. So I've been even more excited just having you guys here for a couple of days and being able to explore this story again. They keep quoting it better than I quote it because I haven't read the thing in 12 years. So I'm going, really, did I say that?
That was pretty brilliant.
I had a little fun with that because what happened at this point? I'm going, I don't know. I got to reread it. So I had my book with me so I could reread. But no, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're
in this
journey together and it'll be fun to see how this works out and we'll let folks know as things kind of unfold for this.
Thank you for traveling with us on The God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com,